KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Yeah, this is Jim Williams. I'm usually here only on Mondays, but our good friend and general manager, Steve Ryman, is actually learning all about broadcasting. I think he's in Texas for the week, and so I'll be joining you today, Thursday, and Friday. So I'm glad that you're here with us. I'm joined in studio by Tracy Rodden and Cindy Tucker. They're both with Feed New Mexico Kids. That ministry is providing students with food for the weekends. Pretty unique endeavor that they've chosen. Tracy and Cindy, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's good to see you. I'm going to start with Cindy. Tracy's kind of the boss. Cindy's a volunteer. Cindy, I want to ask you, why do you volunteer with Feed New Mexico Kids?
Well, first off, my husband and I, we have a daughter that's seven, and it is our heart to teach her that volunteering and serving is just something that we do as a part of our family. That's the culture that we want for her to grow up in. And we want her to see the need and meet the need wherever she's at, whether it's at school or in her community, whether it's at home, you know, picking up her dirty socks or whatever it may be.
Does she have a chance as a first grader to meet the needs of other people?
Absolutely. I think we all do, you know, whether you're young or you're old. And Feed New Mexico Kids is a great ministry for youth to be involved in because it's an opportunity for them to tangibly hold the meal bags, to pack the meal bags. You know, they can see the items that are going in the meal bags and relate to, like, I would eat that, like, you know, that's something that I could prepare or whatever. And for her, you know, she's still pretty young, so she doesn't necessarily know, like, the ways of the world and how complicated it can be. But she is eager to help. She is eager to hop in and jump in a line and pack the bags. And, you know, my hope and my desire is that as she ages and as she has more experiences like this, that she will never shy away from them and that she'll jump in, you know, and be the hands and feet.
Cindy and Tracy, you're both familiar with Proverbs 31.
Mm.
I consider you both my friends. I don't know Cindy as well as I know Tracy. I've known Tracy for 8 or 9 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't met your husband, Ron. I, of course, know Mr. Rodden.
Yes.
And he is also a volunteer with the ministry and helping with doing some neat things. So, Tracy, I'm going to start with you with tell us what Feed New Mexico Kids does. Mm-hmm. I know we've done it 8,000 times, but I think it's good for our audience to hear. And then talk about your own reasons for serving as the executive director and having been a volunteer for many years before that.
Mm-hmm. Well, excuse me. I just wanted to give Cindy a lot of credit, her and her husband, because their daughter is going to see the hands and feet of Jesus, and she's in the first grade. And when it's time for her to understand truly what it is to accept Christ, that will be something that she already understands because she's serving. But for me, I actually grew up a food insecure child. I was one of those kids at school that didn't have the lunch at lunchtime, and it really affected the way that I learned in school. And so I remember so Feed New Mexico Kids was founded by Holly Slade here at Calvary in 2017. And I was working here at Calvary in women's ministry, and I just kind of remember seeing them doing something like out of the corner of my eye, but I wasn't sure what they were doing. And then Holly explained to me that they were putting together weekend snack packs for kids that were food insecure on the weekend, because those kids were eating while they were at school. And I'll just be really honest, you know, I felt like at that point in my life, I was about 50. Actually, yesterday I turned 57. I was 50.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I thought, well, I have arrived. I am no longer that child that's food insecure. And I kind of prided myself on being what I consider an elite Christian. And I didn't want anything to do with what she was doing. I thought that was so great. She was doing that for those who needed it. And then I left Calvary and thought, you know, I need to probably go and graciously give my time to Feed New Mexico Kids and help them pack. And it just became something that the Lord started whispering to me that, you know, you are one of those people that understand why these are being packed and you need to embrace that. And I started to kind of think through that.
Were you embarrassed that you knew more about it than you should?
I wasn't embarrassed, but at all. But I was... a lot of times when we have trauma in life, we just want to work through it and move past it. And I always had this feeling like there was going to be a time in a lot of different areas of my life with the Lord that I had, quote unquote, arrived, and I was past that. Not even thinking, you know, of the scripture in Esther that, you know, the same for Esther, right? And then the Lord said, for such a time as this, you will be used. This is why I've allowed these things to happen to you, to be a part of your life, because you can speak to it now. And so that's kind of where my journey started.
I love that. Now, I'm going to ask you both, you're both married. Sometimes spouses could be the other way around too.
Sure.
They hear about one spouse wanting to volunteer or serve in a certain way, and, well, we have a child, we have multiple children, we both have jobs. We, you know, there's all kinds of reasons that the spouse doesn't necessarily want this to happen. So, Cindy, how did Ron respond?
Well, Ron is very gracious and very, very supportive. He was not resistant whatsoever. You know, before we decided to have our daughter, the conversation that came along with having a child was having a parent stay at home to take care of her, and that was going to be our path if we chose to have kids.
That's good.
Because that's such precious time, and there's so much development and growth, both spiritually and, you know, all of that, those aspects. It's important for children to have that at home time. So we sold a business that I had, and, you know, it was a journey to go from business owner to not a business owner to being a new mom and
a different CEO,
a very different CEO, you know. And so as my daughter grew and time became more available, you know, having a 9-to-5 job wasn't really in the cards for our family. And he has always been supportive of things that I wanted to do and had talked about ministry before. So when I brought this to his attention and I told him, this is something that I want to do, this is something I would like our family to consider donating to and being a financial supporter, you know, he didn't hesitate. And even to this day, you know, as my daughter grows and I have more free time, now I have more free time to serve and go to the warehouse and pack bags and, you know, participate in other areas of Feed New Mexico Kids. And it, you know, it, now that he has seen those seeds for me and he has seen those seeds planted for Briella and pulling her into this ministry, you know, now Ron has come to pack and he has participated in other areas of Feed New Mexico Kids where it's now a ministry that he can also serve in. And it's not just me saying, hey, I want to do this. Now this is like a family dynamic that we have where we are all serving in different functions for Feed New Mexico Kids.
Tracy mentioned Calvary. Our station is located on the campus of Calvary Church. But I always want to tell our listeners, because I believe that KLYT is a tool for the evangelical community. Yes. We have people from every church, every Christian church, evangelical church, in town, and we want, our desire is to have them use this station as a tool mm-hmm. for what they're trying to communicate for their own congregations, mm-hmm. to people they're reaching out to. And so, Tracy, I want you first to explain to us, and this will be the last question for this segment, but I want you to explain to us what food insecurity is, how common it is. Mm-hmm. Then we'll take a break, and I want to come back, and there's a lot of other churches now involved with Feed New Mexico Kids,
yeah.
a lot. And
yeah.
you are specifically equipping them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited about what's going on in Santa Fe.
Yeah.
They're just exploding
yeah.
with helping people. So, yeah. Tracy, what is food insecurity?
So, if we're going to look at the definition of the word food insecure, that actually means that a person doesn't know where their next meal is going to come from. And that is 1 in 3 children in our state are defined in that category. And so, Feed New Mexico Kids was launched from Calvary Church on Osuna. And then in 2021, when I came on board as the executive director, we became our own entity. So we are actually our own separate 501c3, which was a brilliant move in my understanding by Nate Heitzig doing that for us. And the reason that works for us is because Feed New Mexico Kids is kind of like we're the center of a spoke of a wheel. The warehouse is ink. We're the center. We pack 1,800 snack packs a week there. But if you think of a wheel and it has several spokes on it, those are our 13 or 14 church partners that are also doing the same thing from Las Lunas all the way to Pecos.
And you're equipping that. You're not
right.
sharing in any money. This is not a fundraising deal, although you need people to support you.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things we've talked to Cindy about already is she's not only volunteering, but their family is giving.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break
yeah.
and we're going to talk about how other churches are involved, because I know there's people listening to the show right now that are from other churches. They might be in a women's group, men's group, mm-hmm. pastoring, youth group, whatever it might be. And there's just exciting ways for them to get involved.
Yeah.
And
yep.
You'll equip them, and they'll be able to serve people and do miraculous things with food. So we'll be back with Cindy Tucker and Tracy Rodden right after these messages. Would you imagine for a minute that you have a 5-year-old child, or you know of a 5-year-old child, and that 5-year-old child doesn't know where its next meal's coming from? That 5-year-old child hasn't eaten since Friday, and they have a test on Monday morning, or they even have to just get to class. Tracy, you've seen that.
Yeah.
And
I live that.
Feed New Mexico Kids is helping. You've lived that. Yeah, that's just crazy. It's so yeah. sad.
Yeah.
And I never knew this, that it was so common.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1 in 3.
Yeah.
Children throughout New Mexico are food insecure. So this show is all about Feed New Mexico Kids today, and we're talking about how you are helping churches, helping businesses, mm-hmm. open up Feed New Mexico Kids around the state in different communities. Talk to us a little bit about what you're doing, like, for example, in Santa Fe and how that's going.
Well, Santa Fe is this amazing thing that happened. You and I went and talked to Blaze Church in Santa Fe, I don't know, 2 years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that the older we get, the faster time goes. Jim and I went and we talked to Blaze Church and Vince Torres and Carlos Montoya, the pastors there, and they agreed to let me do a question and answer time, which is really rare for a church to let me do a question and answer with them during service, but they did. And we were basically doing a call to action, who is interested in starting this at your church, and 40 people came forward. And it's not huge. It's maybe 200 people attend that church. So after that, somebody approached me and she said, I work for the County of Santa Fe for the Child, Teen, and Youth at Risk Services. We want to give you a grant. And I said, okay. and it's just been this amazing relationship with Santa Fe County. They're so on the ball. You know, what happens is Feed New Mexico Kids finds partners in Santa Fe. We're looking for churches even now, because in Santa Fe, the financial divide is even greater than here in Albuquerque.
And you're talking about upper income versus lower income.
Exactly. That's a really big divide. And
Tracy, would it be accurate to say that there's many people, they in their world, they're not aware that there's people with these needs? Cindy, would you think that's your perception? Like, until you came to Feed New Mexico Kids, would you have thought that there were so many food insecure kids?
No, not at all. I mean, and even before I was a mother, you know, because, you know, we're selfish creatures. And so all we do is think about our own needs. And, you know, in the wealthiest country in the world, the idea of people, children going hungry is almost unimaginable.
Okay. Now, both of you have families. Can you remember when you were 17?
Oh, yeah.
And you were in high school?
Yeah.
I hope this isn't inappropriate, but hormones were raging?
Yeah.
Was that, can you imagine not having any food while you were trying to do what you were doing, both socially and in school and otherwise? Was that devastating? Would that be devastating?
Well, I didn't have that much food in high school. And so there was this fight between, you know, I remember like in high school, I went to one of the wealthiest high schools in the top high school in the nation. I went to that high school and I walked to school, and, you know, I was raised by a single parent. And I remember a bagel dog costs a dollar, and that was what I wanted for lunch. There wasn't really food at home. And I was kind of like, I really want a bagel dog, but I really also want like the latest lipstick color from L'Oreal, you know, growing up in the 80s. And so it was kind of like, you know, I mean, kids were driving to school, to my high school, in Mercedes, Porsches, and Ferraris. And I was walking to school hoping I could get a bagel dog. So there's that great divide. And I think that to answer the earlier question you asked, Cindy, is did you realize? And I think unless you've lived that, you don't see it. And that's true for anything.
Yeah.
Right. You just have different glasses on when you live that. You have different glasses on, like Cindy, when she's owned a business, it, you know, she wears different glasses. She sees things differently. She picks up on things differently.
And now that you know, you're serving.
Right.
Does it take too much of your time away from your family to serve and to volunteer?
Not at all. You know, we pack every Monday morning at the warehouse. We're down in the sawmill area. And, you know, we have volunteers who get there even when it's a bit dark outside. Yeah. They're such faithful servants, you know. But I mean, generally speaking, you know, it may take us an hour and a half to 2 hours to pack 1,800 meal packs, depending on how many volunteers are there.
And if we had more, they would stay and pack more.
Yeah,
for sure.
So it really doesn't take, it's not a huge time commitment, you know. I would say, just visually looking at the big picture of the warehouse, most of the volunteers are retired, you know, or they're in that kind of category. They're older people who have more time, you know. So if any of the listeners out there they find themselves in that position where they would like to do something, but they don't know what to do, but they have the time. Like, this is such a great ministry because, you know, there's a lot of camaraderie. There's a lot of, fun personalities there. And it's just a way to like get together and do something really special, you know. But in addition to packing, we also have delivery drivers, you know, and these people, they come and they pick up boxes for their schools and then they go and deliver those boxes. Mm-hmm. And some of us volunteers, we pack bags and we're delivery drivers, you know. And so if you're a delivery driver and a packer, that can take a little bit more time. But, you know, you can deliver your boxes at your leisure to your school.
So, Tracy, when you have funds, and I want people to kind of understand how responsible the organization is with funding. While we're talking about this, so Feed New Mexico Kids in the warehouse is packing 1,800 bags a week. but you have Legacy Church
yeah.
and several others. Would you mention them and mm-hmm. the other people that are doing the same thing you're doing at the warehouse?
Yeah.
Because I think the ministry is actually feeding over 4,000 people. Is that right?
Over 4,500 kids a month.
Wow.
We feed. And when I say feed New Mexico kids, I don't just mean our warehouse at, like you are saying, PECS 1800. That we're just one of 14 entities. So we have Legacy Church, Grace Community Church, Paradise Hills. We have High Desert Methodist in Rio Rancho. We have Journey Pediatrics is packing in Albuquerque.
I love that. That's a business.
It's a business.
And there's so many things I want to talk about, and we're going to have another 3 minutes in this segment. Man, we're going to have these guys here with us all the way till 2 o'clock. So if you're thinking as you're listening, you want to even give us a call, you're welcome to do that at 505-338-5790. Might save that for the last 15 minutes because we still have a lot more to talk about. But so Tracy, as the executive director, is actually setting churches up. You already mentioned Blaze
yep.
in Santa Fe.
The Grove in Santa Fe,
okay.
Calvary, Santa Fe.
Okay, and they're feeding.
Yep.
I would not have imagined there were so many kids with a need for food in Santa Fe.
We actually are also partnered with Glorieta Camp in Santa Fe, and they're packing and delivering to Pecos schools.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I just love it. I just think it's so amazing to make sure that children especially, it's also important for parents to have food, but it's even more important, I think, for children to have that security. And it's simple. How much does a snack pack cost? Food for the weekend in a gallon Ziploc container. What does that food cost the ministry?
On average, it's about $5.
Okay.
It fluctuates. I think we all know the price of food has gone up.
And that's provided for free. The ministry pays for it.
Yes. And the ministry, by the way, is funded 100% by personal donations, by people, businesses, and grants I can get. That's it.
Yeah.
We have a warehouse that has food in it, and people have this conception that Sam's Club showed up and stocked our shelves, and that's not what happens.
Yeah. So you're buying the food and this yes. and that. Now, there are people that will donate food. Like, I know there's some yes. bins at various churches.
Yes.
But talk to us about if somebody goes to the website, feednmkids, KIDS.org.
Yes.
What will they find there and how do they give?
So there's a list of food items. Please only donate that list of food items because those are picked specifically for five-year-olds that can make a meal on their own that don't have refrigeration or even possibly a microwave at home. And then you can donate on the website or we have a P.O. box and you can write a check and it'll go to the P.O. box and we will send you a statement for tax purposes at the end of the year.
I love that. So that's feednmkids.org. Cindy Tucker and Tracy Rodden with Feed New Mexico Kids are with us this afternoon. They'll be with us till 2 o'clock. I hope you'll stay here on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back. My friend Tracy Rodden and Cindy Tucker in studio, they're both with Feed New Mexico Kids. Cindy is a mom and businesswoman, and I just found out the other day when I saw her at Hope Christian School, she's a coach. You're doing a lot, Cindy. Mm-hmm. And I want people, though, to understand that in addition to your volunteering, you feel like that's not taking away from your family. You feel like it's actually adding. In fact, you shared that, hey, on a Monday when we don't have school, your husband and your first grader, your daughter, have both come and packed. And maybe if you would, talk about you're there for a certain amount of time packing 1,800 bags. Would that be something that a high school group could do? Would that be something that a church group could do? Talk to us about that.
Sure. So these meal packs, you know, they're filled with items that are like shelf stable that are appropriate for, you know, a 5-year-old, like Tracy mentioned, to prepare on up to, you know, high school children who have food insecurity also. But the thing about this type of ministry that I value so much, especially having a younger child, is that this is one of the few ministries that I have found that is, it's a ministry where where a child can participate. You know, like it's a safe environment for her. She can be very hands-on. You know, she can actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a lot of ministries out there that are really, they're not catered to a younger child, you know. So, yes, somebody who's, you know, 6-7 years old on up to high school, we had Sandia Prep come and pack.
Yeah. Hope packed.
About 6 months ago, Hope brought like third and fourth graders to pack at the warehouse, which was a blast, you know. So it's a ministry where, you know, youth can serve, high school kids can serve. It's a great ministry for businesses if they want to have like a team builder type of thing. They can come in and serve at the warehouse. You know, I mean, there's really not a lot of limitations.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think for families and schools and businesses, it's a great opportunity.
So Tracy, we've talked about, okay, the packing's done. Cindy's been volunteering to do that. She and her husband are also donating to support and buy food. So we've kind of covered all of that. You can go to feednmkids.org. Mm-hmm. What I want you to explain now, if you would, is what happens to the food once those delivery drivers deliver it to a school.
Mm-hmm.
How is a child actually identified that needs some help? Is it a humiliating process for them to get food? How does that work?
This is a really good question that you're asking. I get this question asked a lot. So we work with school districts. We don't work with just APS. We work with 6 different school districts in central New Mexico. And what happens is a counselor, a teacher, a principal, a nurse at a school, some schools still have those nurses, will contact us and say, we have some kids that are going hungry on the weekend and we'd like to have them get a snack pack. We send them a form to fill out because we just want to be really clear on how our relationship with them would work. And we give them a PowerPoint on how they can help identify the kids that are hungry. They pretty much know, is that child that's, you know, quieter than average, they're falling asleep in class. At lunchtime, they're asking another student, hey, are you going to eat that? They're telling the teacher, I'm hungry. They're going to the nurse's office saying, I don't feel good. And that's usually a hunger issue. And so the schools identify the children. The delivery driver will have a contact person at the school, and they contact that. They are in communication when to drop off. So when the delivery driver, I'm a delivery driver too, so I just say at my school, hey, Jackie, I'm on my way to drop off the snack packs. And she meets me out front with a cart and grabs the snack packs, and she takes them into the school. And then this particular school I deliver to is a junior high. So the kids that would be the most quote unquote embarrassed is junior high on up. Elementary, they just think they got a treat. They went to a party and they got a gift bag and everybody wants one. But the junior high and the high schoolers, they're the ones that have the biggest issue with being embarrassed. And so they just know those kids to go to a certain classroom at a certain time. And because the food is in a 1 gallon Ziploc bag, it gets slipped right into their backpack and nobody knows anything. And they're asked to not open those until they get home.
Yeah. Now, people, I know that we always have discussions about nutrition and everything else.
Yeah.
I think it would be impossible to provide at an effective cost all these health food bars and all these different things. There is some of that in the pack, but as Cindy was mentioning, these are shelf stable, don't have to be refrigerated, don't have to cook them, because a 5-year-old can actually open this and have sustainability. It's a belly filler. It is nutrition, but it might not be the healthiest thing on the planet.
Well, I feel like I answer this question every single week.
Okay.
And I just want to be really clear that, for example, I know what it's like to not have any food. Okay, so if we're going to have a discussion about what's the most nutritious food that a child will actually eat, and I'm the grandmother of 9. I understand what small children will and will not eat. Even though those kids are hungry, if they don't like the food, they will throw it on the ground. They're children. Their brains aren't fully developed yet until they're about 26, 27 for males. And so the food that we have, for example, one of the shelf-stable foods we have is the Go-Go Squeeze applesauce. Well, they can open the top, eat some, reseal it, put it in the Ziploc, and have some for later. And these are kids that know how to kind of meter out their food to make it last for the weekend. And I often get the question, well, it would be better if they had fresh food, 100%. If I could make a seven-year-old eat steamed broccoli or raw, I would completely do it. But that's not going to happen. And that's not my job.
I can only imagine a bag full of broccoli.
You know, and I think if you want to be part of a ministry that gives fresh food for children to eat and have somebody cook it for them, that's not us. That's Roadrunner or St. Felix. Our lane is to make sure a child has food that can substitute for the weekend when they're not at school so they can get through a weekend and have hope for that Monday that they can be focused.
I like that you've both shared that the people that work with Feed New Mexico Kids in many cases have contact with the schools.
Yeah.
Maybe it's counselors, maybe it's some teachers. If a school, I hate to always ask whether there's a waiting list because yeah. resources are limited. That's why we're on the air saying, hey, can you help us? This and that. If you had more resources, could you feed more kids?
I would love to be out of a job where there was not a hungry child and we didn't need to do this to feed them. But that's probably not going to happen until the Lord comes back. And I want to go back to what Cindy said and what you were talking about people serving. There's this conception as Christians, and I've been a Christian for over 40 years, that, and I thought the same thing, I'm going to go serve. I'm going to go on a mission trip. A lot of I'm going to help you. But what really happens when people come to Feed New Mexico Kids, for example, they're actually getting ministered to. They're ministering to each other. Their depression is less. They're serving their community immediately. They're seeing a result in going from food on a shelf to food in a bag to food in a box to food at a school that a child's going to eat. We often feed the people that serve. You know, I'm not saying we're making broccoli, but they're getting something. Maybe I'll try that one time and see if that'll go over better than the Krispy Kreme donuts that we give them. But there's a camaraderie there that helps. And, you know, one of the things that our society deals with, and we know this because we all in this room have young people in our lives, is severe anxiety and depression because everybody's on their phone and have an expectation of what the world looks like. At Feed New Mexico Kids, there's the reality check. This is the world. And we're here to serve in the world. It's not about us. And so I think that really changes people's thinking and how they think about themselves. Just Cindy being an example of how much she loves it, you know.
You want to comment about that, Cindy?
Sure. You know, I've been with Feed New Mexico Kids for about 3 years now. I think our first year we were just financial donors. Just because of time. Mm-hmm. And as my daughter has gotten older, you know, and time mm-hmm. is more available, I can participate more. But, you know, I've heard it said that there's nothing better for your soul than to like serve somebody else.
Right.
You know, and it is therapy and it's, you know, it's the Lord's therapy for us. And, you know, Feed New Mexico Kids, the volunteers that come every week are, you know, you see the same faces and you build relationships with people and it feeds your soul in a way that medicine cannot, you know, and that your phone cannot or whatever it is, you know, it's being able to serve. It's so fulfilling in a different way, in a spiritual way, because God has planted that in our hearts.
Tracy,
all you have to do is say yes.
Yeah. Do you guys pray together and have a little time in the Word together, that kind of thing?
Yeah, we pray about 15, 20 minutes into our packing when we kind of feel like everybody's shown up and often take prayer requests. And because I like to respect people's time that they've devoted to packing from, you know, 9 to 11, I don't spend a ton of time, but it clocks in my brain. Like somebody has a nephew dealing with a heart problem. Another person has somebody who is dealing with drug and alcohol addiction, suicide issue that's happened. And so I know Cindy does this because even though she and I are in the warehouse, and there's many volunteers that do as much as Cindy does, they just don't happen to be in this room, right? So I'm using her as an example. If you're a volunteer and you're listening, I'm not discarding you at all. But I see her kind of walking around, going from person to person, also clocking what they've said and what they've asked prayer for and remembering them. And I'm kind of doing the same thing. And we just have, I think in our society, we've gotten away from the idea that Christ came to serve us. And we need to follow him as an example. And if we're serving Christ, we have a lot less time to worry about. Do we have the latest thing? Are we up with the latest? And how come on social media, their life looks perfect? Your brain cannot do those two things at the same time. It just can't. And so we want to make new neural pathways in our brain that are positive, and figuring out how to Tetris, if you're that age group, you know what I'm talking about. A snack pack is much more interesting than trying to look on social media.
Well, as we've talked today, and I write down a few notes, I actually listen to what you guys say, believe it or not.
I believe it.
It's always a blessing to me. I'll meet somebody on the street and they'll say, I listen to ABQ Connect. And they'll ask me a question like, well, how do you know all this stuff that you talk about on the radio? And then I look at them and I smile and I go, I don't know anything. It's my guests that know everything. And that's really true.
Yeah.
And I learn, obviously. So I've learned a lot about Feeding New Mexico Kids over the years. But here's what I wanted to ask you. You've mentioned churches are involved. You mentioned Christians are involved. You mentioned Hope Christian School.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get Legacy out there.
Yeah.
Legacy might
major.
Be, because they have Legacy Academy. Maybe they're helping at Legacy now. I need to find out about that. But I just think you're exactly right. It's, Cindy, I think you used the word therapy. We all experience some level of emotional distress, maybe trauma, whatever.
Yeah.
And this is the quickest way out of depression is to serve another person.
Yep.
That's a biblical concept.
It is.
So I guess what I'm really blessed to hear, and you're going to maybe be surprised at this, but you mentioned that Sandia Prep came and packed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sandia Prep is a really great school, high academic standards, but it's not a Christian school. I mean, sure, there's Christians there, but there may be all kinds of other people there.
Right.
And it sounds like they were all blessed to be there and to serve in the same way.
And we don't change our program to who's in our warehouse. So we have Bank of America's come and packed, Sandia Lab, Credit Union, before it changed to Sunward, came and packed. Other schools have come and packed. And our program is exactly the same. And I learned this a long time ago. If you put the Lord first and you're not ashamed of the Lord, right? The Bible says he's not ashamed of you either. Mm. And I believe that's the true success of Feed New Mexico Kids. We never shy away from, this is a Christ-centered, Christ-filled filled organization. This is not how much Cindy and Tracy and Chuck and Carrie can do. This is, you know, what the Lord is going to do. Because he could write a check tomorrow and feed every single child in this state, but he didn't, because he wants people to come to Christ. He wants people that are Christians to stop being elite Christians and serve, to actually do what we say that we believe. And that's how I believe he's casting the net very wide and giving everybody the opportunity. There, like Cindy said, this ministry has so many different facets. You could, if you're homebound, I will ship you from Amazon cards and stickers and markers to make encouragement cards.
Awesome.
And I will come pick them up. You don't have to physically be in the warehouse. So this ministry has a lot of different ways you can serve. It's not just about writing a check or putting food in a bag.
Let me give a couple contact little pieces of contact information. Tracy Rodden is the executive director. Cindy Tucker is one of their volunteers. Tracy can be reached through the website at feednmkids.org. Their phone number is 505-252-4341. I'm going to do a little math for you. We've got another 10 minutes. I went a little long during that segment. But when we come back, I'm going to talk about feeding 10 children per week, maybe in one school for the weekends. And we're going to do a little math about what that costs. And maybe your business or your church or somebody, you might consider adopting a school and being just another partner with Feed New Mexico Kids. We'll be back after these messages. The executive director of Feed New Mexico Kids, Tracy Rodden, and one of her volunteers and good friend, Cindy Tucker, are in studio, and we're talking about the ministry. I said before the break that I wanted to do a little math problem here, so let's walk through this together. If you might think that you could be interested in feeding kids for the weekend, and again, Feed New Mexico Kids is providing a gallon snack pack for children that don't have any food on the weekends. And Tracy, is it accurate that most public schools around the state are able to provide a breakfast and lunch meal for kids during the week?
Yes. Every child in school in New Mexico gets free breakfast and lunch. They don't have to prove it. They don't have to do anything. They just get it.
And I don't want to dilute what I said earlier because I'm going to still get this math done, but I was just thinking that we all look forward to Christmas break.
Right.
Kids that don't have food don't look forward to Christmas break.
Or even a three-day weekend.
Because they don't get fed.
Yeah. And I just want to be really clear because this comes up a lot. I know that that sounds really like, why wouldn't a parent feed a child? So I just want to say a couple things about that. Yes, a lot of the children that aren't getting fed, it's from the neglect of a parent, but that's not the biggest percentage. Some parents are single parents, single moms. I was raised by a single dad. And that can just be a matter of economics for a single parent income trying to feed the child. Some children are being raised by their grandparents or aunts and uncles who technically don't have parental rights of that child, so they can't even apply for help to feed that child, and they're just trying to make it work out of their own budget or their retirement funds if they have any. So there's a lot of different reasons for kids in our state to be food insecure. I think New Mexico, kind of when we say we have children who are food insecure and it's one in three, our mind automatically jumps to, oh, their parents are neglectful and they're on drugs and alcohol. Not necessarily.
Right.
Okay, I don't want to do that. But what are we going to do when the 16-year-old who is food insecure, who is five times more likely to commit suicide, and they are 10 times more likely than that, if they're food insecure, to be sex trafficked. What are we going to do then?
Yeah, and I mean, the expense of tragedy, losing a person, yeah, is just, I can't even imagine.
Well, we want our state to grow and be better, so our children have to be better.
So let's talk about this. You know, any amount of money that people can help with is helpful. But
yes,
let's say that there's a school, there's a local elementary school that has, mm-hmm, 10 children. Mm-hmm. They fill out the form. They have, mm-hmm, 10 children that need food every week.
Yeah.
Let's just round up and say $5 is the cost of a snack pack. So
right,
that's $50 a week.
Right.
If we multiply that times 52 weeks.
Right.
Year round, then we're at what, $2,600. So
right,
that's about $216 a month.
Yep.
And you could feed 10 kids for a whole year.
Yep.
If you were to give in that area. Now, if you can give 10, you can give 20.
You can give 5, skip a Starbucks.
Yeah, there you go. Skip a Starbucks. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
And hey, I love Starbucks just like everybody else.
Sure, but there's a sacrifice. Are we willing to sacrifice something that's a luxury so a child can have something that's a need?
Yeah. Cindy, when you decided to give were you really interested in the financials of the business and how they handled money? And do you feel like Feed New Mexico Kids is pretty responsible to manage that money well?
I do believe that they manage their funds well. You know, I wasn't as interested necessarily in the financials as much as I was in just, at least initially, like getting my feet wet and seeing what it was about and just participating, you know. And once I was able to serve, then I began to understand the bigger picture, the broader picture, you know. And going back to the question and answer just before this, you know, talking about kids, our listeners need to understand that it's not just like elementary kids. Mm-hmm. These aren't just kids who, you know, are from, you know, 5 to 10 or whatever. This mm-hmm. is elementary school, junior high, and this is high school also, you know, because the state has a lot of, we have an abundant resource pool for elementary school kids,
right,
and like the younger right. kids, you know. But as these children go through the school system and they start to age out, you know, what resources do, you know, 16, 17, 18 year olds have? And, you know, Tracy mentioned sex trafficking and things like that. You know, food can be used as a weapon against right. children.
Right. Predators definitely know how to seek that out in children.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, how can we help to equip these older children also, these older kids that are going to be, that are more susceptible to things like that? You know, if we can provide them with a meal, if we can provide them with food, then that's one area less where somebody can use that as a weapon to get them to do things that they shouldn't be doing.
Or convince them that they have to do things they shouldn't be doing to get food, right? Mm-hmm. And so the way Feed New Mexico Kids works now is we do have an influx of schools that contact us, let's say every fall, and they say, this is what we need. Automatically, I serve high school first.
Mm.
Then I serve junior high. Then I serve elementary. And because those high schoolers, like Cindy said, they're aging out. High schoolers typically from 16 to 18, you can still be 18 and be in high school. They're expected in a lot of their homes to get a job and help participate financially. And a lot of them get jobs at McDonald's or Dion's or wherever because they know food comes with that, you know, thankfully. So there's a couple things that I wanted to mention that I didn't get a chance to. And usually I force Jim to let me talk, but he's been really gracious. You can reach us at feednmkids@gmail.com. That's the best way to reach us.
Okay.
Is feednmkids@gmail.com. And I'm going to be, so on February 21st, this weekend, here at Calvary, Women's Ministry is going to open their registration for their spring event. And you'll be able to pick a workshop. Feed New Mexico Kids is doing one of those workshops on April 28th. That's a Tuesday in the evening. I would love for you to come. This is a perfect way to just get another time to hear who we are, why we do what we do, and we're going to pack. So you can physically see what it takes to pack.
And you don't have to go to Calvary to attend this.
Nope. You don't have to go to Calvary to attend. You just have to register online.
In fact, you might like it if churches other than Calvary came, because that
Absolutely.
Means you're expanding your partnerships.
Absolutely.
I love that.
I'm a marketer at heart, and any chance I get to spread the word, I'm going to do it.
Tracy, you've made it really simple.
Yep.
Is what you're doing, Cindy, simple? I mean, it might be hard work, but sounds like it's pretty straightforward.
Cindy likes to get in the warehouse and get grimy and lift. And the warehouse gave us extra shelving. And one day I told her we had it. And there was like a shelf. It was probably 8 feet high. And I went over there and she was on top. I said, okay, you got to get down.
I love it. Cindy and Tracy, thank you both for joining us today. It's unfortunately the end of our program and
thank
we didn't
you,
get all the way through it. But we look forward to next time.
Thank you.